But it's not just plastic waste that we're polluting the ocean with. Another man-made threat has recently been discovered, this time in corals. And this one is particularly hard to stomach, because it's a type of bacteria that comes from human feces. Across the globe, there are known to be around 20 types of disease that affect coral reefs.
Coral diseases are a major stressor affecting coral reefs today.
That's Catherine Sutherland from Rollins College in Florida, a microbiologist and ecologist who specialises in coral diseases.
Since the mid-1990s, we have seen and described an increasing number of coral diseases, and they are in combination with other stresses that affect coral reefs. Coral reefs are threatened by warming seawater temperatures and poor water quality and increasing population densities, especially along coastlines, and climate change. All of these combine and lead to the decline of coral reefs.
Well, one particular disease that's having a devastating impact on corals in the Caribbean is called white pox disease. It only affects Acropora palmata, otherwise known as elkhorn coral, because it grows into large antler-like structures. The disease gets its name from the white blotchy patches left behind when areas of diseased coral tissue die off. And for elkhorn coral, this has spelt very bad news.
Elkhorn coral was once the most common coral in the Caribbean. But in 2006, it was listed as a threatened species under the United States Endangered Species Act, and white pox disease played a major role in the listing. And so since the discovery of white pox disease in the mid-1990s, elkhorn coral has declined an average of 90% in the Florida Keys. And this decimation is occurring in combination with white pox disease and other stressors. And these other stressors include elevated seawater temperatures, poor water quality, and other diseases like white band that have just led to the decimation of elkhorn coral populations Caribbean-wide.
Back when white pox first started spreading around the Caribbean, the cause of the disease was a complete mystery. And Catherine Sutherland took on the task of figuring out what was going on.
We had no idea what was causing this new emerging coral disease. And so I approached it from a viewpoint of it could be anything. It could be bacteria, it could be a virus, it could be a protist, it could be a fungus. And so I started my search. And originally I actually thought it might be a virus because white pox disease only affects one species of coral, as far as we know. And viruses are known to be very host specific.
The focus for disease research in corals is the layer of sticky mucus that the coral polyps secrete on their surfaces. And Catherine started by investigating the bacteria that live in that surface layer.
The mucus layer of a coral is the first line of defense of the coral against disease. And the mucus layer is full of microbes, whether or not the coral is healthy or diseased. And when we're looking for a disease pathogen, we collect this mucus layer using non-destructive techniques, using a sterile needleless syringe, and then we plate that mucus onto bacterial media. And we can look for bacteria. We're going to find a lot because the microbes are present in healthy and diseased corals. And for the case for white pox, I plated all the microbes that I found, plated them to pure culture, and then I compared those that were found in only diseased individuals to those that were found in healthy individuals. And I had some potential culprits for pathogens, for those that were clustering with the disease samples only. And then the next step was to inoculate healthy elkhorn coral in a controlled seawater aquaria setting, so you're not affecting the population outside on the reef, and then to see if those pathogens cause disease. And it turned out that the cause of white pox disease was indeed a bacterium. And when we first discovered the pathogen that causes white pox in 2002, we knew that the bacterium that causes the disease, it's called Serratia marcescens, we knew that this bacterium was common in terrestrial environments and in human guts and in human sewage. But at that time, we could only speculate that human sewage might indeed be the source of this pathogen that's killing corals because the pathogen, the bacterium, is actually found in the waste of other animals as well.
So the next big question is, where is this disease-causing bacteria coming from? To work that out, Catherine turned to genetic studies.
Once I identified the pathogen as Serratia marcescens in 2002 and wasn't certain where it was coming from, I did a widespread source survey and looking at multiple potential sources in the Florida Keys. In order to do this, I collected human samples from the Key West wastewater treatment plant, as well as waste samples from other animals like key deer and seabirds. And I plated these samples on microbial media that was specific to the coral pathogen, and that's Serratia marcescens. And while I found Serratia marcescens in multiple animals, including including key deer and seagulls, my genetic analyses showed that only the strain from human sewage matched the strain that was found in diseased corals on the reef. And so this gave me a genetic connection between the contamination of nearshore waters with sewage and the white pox disease of corals. And then in order to indeed show that that strain of the pathogen from humans was causing the disease, I inoculated healthy fragments again, like my original studies, with this strain that I found in human sewage and in diseased elkhorn coral, and to see if it would be pathogenic. And indeed it was. The strain caused disease in elkhorn coral in 5 days. So that gave us definitive evidence that humans and human sewage are the source of the pathogen that causes the devastating disease of corals known as white pox.
Catherine and her team have traced the source of white pox disease back to human sewage and the bacteria that live in our guts. And this was the first time a disease has been found to jump from humans to a marine invertebrate.
This is a different disease pathway than what we traditionally hear about wildlife and humans. Usually it's going from wildlife to humans. An example of a wildlife to human disease transmission model is swine flu or bird flu or HIV. But the movement of a disease-causing microbe from a human to a marine invertebrate had never been shown before.
And it's not just the bacteria in wastewater that can cause problems for corals, but also the nutrients, largely nitrates, that come with sewage.
When we add nutrients to the seawater where we find coral reefs, we have algal blooms and macroalgal growth that outcompete corals for space on the reef and limit their ability to photosynthesize when we have algal growth in the water column.
So now the cause of the disease has been identified, steps are being taken to combat the problem at the source.
We have bad news that humans are the source of the pathogen, but the good news is that we have a solution, and the solution is actually already underway in the Florida Keys, and the solution is advanced wastewater treatment. Historically in the Florida Keys, they've utilized septic systems to contain human waste, and the problem is that septic systems were not designed for areas like the Florida Keys. These waste disposal systems were designed for rural areas with low population densities and areas with soil. Soil filters out any contaminants that leak from a faulty septic system. But the Florida Keys are a high population density area with no soil, and there's limestone bedrock instead. And this bedrock is porous, and it allows human waste leaking from a faulty septic tank to quickly reach the groundwater in the nearshore environment. A decade ago, the city of Key West upgraded their sewage treatment from septic systems to advanced wastewater treatment. And today, the entire Florida Keys is in the process of upgrading local wastewater treatment. And these measures will eliminate a source of the bacterium to the marine environment.
Well, white pox disease isn't just a problem in Florida, but across the Caribbean, where there's a widespread lack of good wastewater treatment, and that means that reefs continue to be vulnerable to a human source of the disease. Another question is whether this same bacteria that's common across the world is causing problems for marine organisms beyond the Western Atlantic.
Serratia marcescens could be affecting corals elsewhere in the world, or other microbes that are associated with human sewage. We've described approximately 20 coral diseases, and we only know the causes of approximately 5. So there's a lot of unknowns out there. And so Serratia marcescens may be affecting other corals and causing other disease signs, signs that look different than white pox and on different coral species.
Well, with funding from the National Science Foundation Ecology of Infectious Diseases program, Catherine is collaborating on a 5-year study jointly with Rollins College and the University of Georgia to understand how the pathogen infects corals and what drives outbreaks of the disease on reefs. Could it be factors like climate change and warming seas?
One thing we're really interested in is the entire microbial community associated with corals when they're diseased and when they're healthy. So we've been focusing on collecting mucus samples, both for culture of the pathogen, to look for the presence of the pathogen in diseased corals and in healthy corals. But we're also looking at this mucus layer for the whole microbial community, and we're analyzing the whole microbial DNA. And what we want to do is compare the microbial community present on the diseased corals to the microbes present on healthy corals. As I mentioned, the coral mucus layer and the microbes that reside in this mucus layer are the first line of defense of a coral against pathogens. And the microbes present in the layer when the coral is healthy may play a role in defense against the pathogen. So we hypothesize that when the host coral is stressed, or for example, warmer seawater temperatures stress the coral, the microbial community present in the mucus layer may shift or change. And this change in the microbial community may facilitate infection. And one question we're trying to answer is, when the microbial community changes, does this permit the infection by Serratia marcescens, or is it the arrival and the proliferation of Serratia marcescens in the mucus layer that changes the microbial community? So which comes first, the arrival of the pathogen and then a shift in the microbial community, or the shift in the microbial community that facilitates the pathogen?
Well, the mystery of whitepox disease may have been solved, but there are still a lot we don't know about coral diseases, and many that still have not yet been fully diagnosed.
And so as we approach other coral diseases that are out there affecting the corals and lots of unknowns, we just sort of have to keep an open mind about what may be the cause. It might be bacterium, or it might be a virus, or it might be a fungus. And so you just have to start one at a time and see where it goes.
That was Catherine Sutherland from Rollings College in Florida, telling the story of her discovery and diagnosis of whitepox disease in the Caribbean elkhorn coral. Well, you can find out more about her work on coral diseases and more on ocean pollution at our webpages. That's thenakedscientist.com/oceans.